Hello, loves. Are you ready to embark on a soul-stirring adventure? If you are, hell yes. If not, well, get ready, babes. Because at Love Lighthouse, we are all about starting the transformative journey of healing and awakening to the true you. So let's go. Hey everyone, welcome back to today's show. Today, I'm so delighted I have a special guest that we're going to have a deep, soulful conversation, and I can't wait to jump into this. So let's just welcome Yonica Oines. Did I do that right?
I know it's hard. I'm the Norwegian, so we have those letters and that we don't have in English, but you did it beautifully, and I'm excited to be here.
Thank you. So let's just jump in really quick. You call yourself a spiritual investigator. I love that so much. I've never heard that term before. And when I was reading that on your website, I was like, that really resonates with me because I feel like I'm so curious and I always want to ask these like questions and find out all of these deep questions that other people are like, I don't know, I've never thought about that. You know what I mean? So you definitely have that curiosity within you as well. So let's just jump in here and tell people a little bit about you, about your story. How did you become a spiritual investigator?
Right. Because Wisdom from North, my YouTube channel, really came out of my own curiosity and my longing for answers. And it wasn't something I planned at all. And it has evolved to something I would never or could never imagine what it is today. And that I'm actually living from doing my hobby. It's just amazing. And I'm pinching my arm that there was a deeper sort of reason to my curiosity also that benefited other people. And the story is that I was actually a musical theater artist or a child star in Norway. And Norway is a small country. We are around 5 million people. And when I was little, we didn't have social media. We didn't have a lot of TV channels. So I got a lot of attention. I started out as little Cosette in Les Robles when I was 7 years old. And after that, it was Annie and Annie and Dorothy in The Wizard of Oz and Rizzo in Grease. And I got these huge roles and I had a record. And so this really influenced me because I think I was a very humble soul to begin with. And all this attention that I got, I think it's not very healthy for a young child. And my parents didn't really know how to handle all this attention that I got. And I think as a little child, I interpreted all this attention as love. So I would be scared not to perform well enough, not to be good enough. And I felt that my voice, my singing voice, and my ability to act was who I was. And I also planned from when I was 7 years old that I was going to be a musical theater artist on Broadway or West End. So I had my whole life mapped out from when I was seven. And it wasn't my parents who had these expectations, it was myself. Like I was really passionate about musical theater. That was like my dream. But then in my 20s, something happened because I started getting hoarser and hoarser. And I was playing Rizzo in Greece at the time. And at the end of the period, I couldn't hit the high notes. And the other girls had to sing behind the stage, you know, pretend to be me. And it got me worried. So I went to a speech therapist. And after that, I was going to have another role, like the main role in Little Shop of Horrors as Audrey. So I was at the peak of my career and everything was going so well. And I had a boyfriend. I was 21. I just felt that I was such a success. Even though like I wasn't high on myself, I was humbled, but I realized that, you know, things are going so well. But I got hoarser and hoarser. And then I went to a speech therapist and he said, you got nodules on your voice. You cannot sing. You cannot even speak for a long, long time. And there and then I knew that my life as I knew it was over. that everything I had worked towards since I was 7 years old could not happen. Like I intuitively understood that my voice is not going to recover fully. And I went to a speech therapist and I didn't speak for a long time and all that. And I got surgery, but the voice never fully recovered. And long, long story short, I did lots of other things. I sort of came back to showbiz. I did a soap opera and so on. But what happened was right after I lost my voice, I fell into a depression, a very dark, long depression. And I questioned everything. I questioned my value. I didn't feel worthy of anything, to be honest. I felt so small. I felt so much self-hatred. And I think it was because I felt so lost. Like I had no idea what to do with my life. All my friends were studying, going abroad, having wonderful lives. And I was home with not a voice. I couldn't speak. And I didn't know what to do. Like I had no idea what to do. I just wanted to vanish. And it took me a long, long time to get out of that depression. And actually what got me out of it was that I started to watch Oprah Winfrey. I started to look into metaphysics, spirituality. I started to ask questions like, why are we really here? What is the deeper meaning of life? Is there a purpose to me? What is self-love? Do I lack self-love? Is that something I need to work on myself? So I asked all these questions and slowly but surely, answers started coming to me. I went into nature and I realized that I needed to work on my self-love. I needed to love myself without having a singing voice, without having to prove that I was worthy. I needed to just feel worthy. And that took me a long time, this process of working myself out of the depression, working on self-love, having a greater self-confidence, all this. It was almost like I needed to be born again, actually, that I was awakening to a new identity, almost, because I built my identity then on just my being and not my doingness from my past life. And out from that, something else was born. I did, like the story is longer. I did study to become a primary teacher. I did some theater jobs, etc., because I had surgery and my voice got better. But I felt that this wasn't right anymore. There was something else I was supposed to do, but I had no idea what it is. So I started to, you know, study to become a primary teacher, even though I felt this is wrong. I was like, I don't know what else to do. But then I had like this magical moment in 2012. When I'm sitting down at this cafe with my father and I'm saying, you know, Dad, I'm studying, but I'm not inspired to study. And he was like, okay, just finish the studies, you know, and you'll find out what to do. Life will guide you. And I thought he was very wise. And I was like, yeah, okay, I'm going to finish my studies. But what I really want to do, Dad, is just to travel around the world and interview people about the big questions of life. And as I just said that, it was like this biggest aha feeling and insight that I've ever gotten. Because in that moment, it was like tick, 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 tick. It all aligned. And I knew that, but that's what I'm going to do. Like that thought was so clear that I was in no doubt that I was going to do it. Like I didn't picture how it was going to be. I just knew that that was the path somehow. And I ran out into the woods and the name Wisdom from North dropped into my mind. Within a week, I got two jobs, like showbiz jobs that gave me $5,000, like out of the blue. So I managed to buy a camera and a website and I got going. I started interviewing Dr. Eben Alexander about his near-death experience, Anita Moriani, Akiana Kramarik, Byron Katie, all these amazing teachers. And this it was in 2012. And if you guys are spiritual, you know about 2012 and the Mayan calendar. And I think a lot of people started to awaken then. So that's where it all started. And I'm still doing it, but it has grown. Like today we have an online membership. We produce online classes and courses and programs with teachers. I have two podcasts, one in English, one in Norwegian, two YouTube channels, and we have a lot to do. And I love what I'm doing. I think it's so much fun. And I never knew that this could be my job and that I could, you know, live from asking questions and being curious and being a spiritual investigator.
Wow. Wow. That is so awesome. I love that so much. When you talk about 2012, I think about what a pivotal time that was for everyone. I think about myself at 2012. That was one of the most painful years of my life, but it was a turning point. So that's so interesting that that happened with you. And you probably, with all the people you interview, you probably hear that year come up a lot. Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Wow. A lot of people started to follow their passion in 2012.
Yep. It was a turning point for people. So how old were you when that happened? Because I know that in your 20s, this was, your dreams were crushed. How long did it take you to go from having that dream that you had had since you were seven, which is amazing? Because as soon as you said it wasn't my parents' dream, it was my dream. I was thinking that already. I was wondering, like, was that what your parents wanted from you? And then you said, no, it was what I wanted. But you had this dream your whole life and then it was crushed, which makes me really think about how much we put people's worth. We do this as parents too. Like, it makes me think about even my son who plays football. We put so much of, like, yes, you're such a good football player, or you're such a good performer, or you're so beautiful, or you do all these things. And we're really focusing a lot on what they're doing or what they look like, or, you know, what they are, how they're performing, when all of that, you know, one injury or one moment where your vocal cords are injured, like, it can take it all away. And then you have to find out, who are you really, right? Which is what your journey was. So beautiful. So how long did it take you to go from it all crumbling down to that moment where you go, oh my gosh, I know why I'm here and I know what I'm going to do?
Yeah, it took me many years. I often say to my members in my membership and the webinars I'm doing that it took me a long time to awaken. And that's why I'm also passionate to do this work, because I believe that we don't have to have our dreams crushed, or we don't have to really hit the wall before we start waking up, that we can start consciously walk on the spiritual path and not having the universe knock so hard on our doors. That is terrible. That is getting really terrible. So I lost my voice when I was 21, and I started Wisdom from North when I was 32. But in between there, I had roles and I was trying out all sorts of things, but I was really lost for a long time in my life. And one of my passions today is to speak about your soul's purpose, because I was so sure I was on purpose. And I think part of me was that it was right to pursue the musical theater career. And it gave me also some qualities and skills that I probably need in my work today, like be on camera, be able to be on stage. I went to America, to the US, New York, to study theater, which helped my English. So I think really there is a deeper meaning with these things. I just feel like my purpose today is much deeper and is bringing much more to other people than if I was a musical theater artist, being a singer.
I think that, because I've thought about that with myself and with watching other people, that, you know, you go on these paths and you think, what was I thinking? Why was I doing that? Why was I going that way? Like, I went into news. I went into the pharmaceutical world. All of these things that now I'm like, whoa, where was I going and how? Because it's vastly different than what I do now. But I realized it was all perfect. It was all a part of that journey that I was able to get certain training and certain awareness of different industries and different subjects that I needed, you know? And so isn't it so beautiful all in the end where you go, oh, you know, I see now what that was all about. And for you to have that awakening. It's so awesome to hear that story. I love that so much. I heard an interview. I'm not sure which one it was because I listen to a lot of your interviews now. And I heard you talking about astral travel and how you had an amazing awakening where, some people talk about their awakenings. And I think that a lot of people have like these moments where it's a big part of, I kind of look at it like a piece of the puzzle. Like we kind of get here to planet Earth and the puzzle pieces are kind of like dispersed. And then we go on our journey, we start picking up those pieces. And it happens in layers, right? Where you start to wake up, like you're talking to your father, and you had this awareness, this awakening that came in. And then from there, it just kept going, where you had these pieces drop in. And I'm sure these deep, soulful conversations that you have on a normal basis, you have these pieces drop in of awareness. So tell us a little bit about astral travel. And I'll tell you with me, I've always been a little afraid of it. Like I've been afraid that if I go there, then maybe I can't come back, or, and I'm sure some people maybe think that too. So can you kind of first tell people like, what is it? And is that something that you've heard that people get afraid of it? And does it ever happen to where people shouldn't dabble in it? I don't know. You kind of like speak to that if you could.
Sure, I think it's a very interesting topic and I'd love to speak about it. And I also want to stress that I recommend checking out some teachers that I believe are really good at this and yeah, are quite experts, I would say, on within this area. And I think it's important that we have some good teachers because this is an area that might be a bit more challenging. And I think you'll understand why when I explain this. So, for astral traveling, I recommend Jade Shaw, and I've interviewed her. And you can watch an interview with her on my channel. And I'm going to interview now Charlie Morley on lucid dreaming. They're splendid teachers. So, in 2006, in that period when I was a bit lost, what I was doing was being a spiritual investigator myself. Not on YouTube, but myself in my own life. And I so wanted proof that I existed outside my body because I was studying this, I was reading about it, but that was just a belief, right? Like, how could I know that this was the real deal? How could I know? And then I was like, okay, if I get out of my body, I will know that I'm more than my body, that I exist outside of it. So I went to this astral travel and dream course. And I meditated every day, 3 times a day. And there I learned a lot about the astral realm. Now, that was one type of teaching. And today I have a more expanded understanding of the astral realm because they were like saying that, okay, that is the astral realm and it works like this and it is an actual place and blah blah blah. And now today I feel like it's much more vast and we can't even understand what the astral realm is. But what they told me, what they taught me was that we go to the astral realm when we sleep. So every night we go to the astral realm, and the astral realm is a spiritual realm that consists of different layers, like more dense layers and more high vibrational levels. And you can meet anything there. Some parts of the astral world is where people go right after they die, for instance. That could be in the lower realm sometimes if ghosts or spirits are lingering a bit. It can also be the higher realms. Now, the afterlife is such a big topic in itself, but so when we go to sleep every night, we go like our astral body is going out of our bodies because we consist of different bodies. And then we dream. So most of the time we are unconscious that we are outside of our bodies. Now, lucid dreaming means that you are conscious when you're outside your body. So that means if we're in a dream right now and there's a pink elephant flying through the wall, I would actually think, whoa, there's a pink elephant. Like, that's not possible. And then I would realize that, oh, I'm dreaming. oh my goodness, I am in the astral world. And I will get totally aware. So this is lucid. I would get totally aware, and then I can do whatever I want. Like I can navigate the astral realm consciously. Because when we're dreaming, we're not conscious of dreaming. So basically, it feels like you're alive and existing in this totally different reality. That's how it feels like. And I've been lucid many, many times. And I've gone through walls. I've been flying around. I've been seeing stuff. I've been asking to go to places. I've been a spiritual investigator there as well. Now, astral projecting is sort of the same, but a little bit different. Because when you astral project, that means that you're not waking up in a dream, like going to sleep and waking up, but you are consciously moving out of your body. So let's say we lie down on our couches, and then I close my eyes and I meditate, and all of a sudden I float out of my body and I'm conscious while I'm doing it. That's the difference between lucid dreaming and astral projecting. So I've done that too, but that's a much, much harder process, because you can just imagine, like, I've never experienced that before, like being able to move out of my body. Like, it's a pretty intense experience, to be honest. And what I did was that I practiced all these techniques that I've learned in this course, different mantras, different visualizations. I meditated a lot to focus my mind, because you need to get your body to sleep and your awareness need to be clear. So you must not fall asleep, but your body must fall asleep. And then you get into this vibrational state. You can, that hop, it doesn't happen every time, I think, but it happened to me, that everything starts to shake. And all of a sudden, you don't know if you're there or there. Like, you don't have a feeling of what are you? Like, you can't feel yourself. You feel light and heavy at the same time. It's really strange. And actually, to be honest, that's maybe why you were a bit scared. The first time this happened, I heard the most horrible shrieks and screamings that I've ever heard. Mm-hmm. Like, it was like there was thousands of souls screaming at me. And I've spoken to Jade about this, and I don't really remember the details, but she was saying, you know, it's just that, like, you're going through a portal and it's like a transition. It's not something evil or something bad. It's just like a reaction or something like that. Like, it wasn't anything dangerous. It was just, she was just, it's just an unpleasant experience. But it still got me a bit afraid. Like, this was kind of scary. But when I moved out of my body, I was fine. Like, I was outside my body and I got so excited. And the one thing you must not be is excited, because then it's very easy to jump into your body again or snap back. So I had learned in the course that I had to be very calm and serene. So I was like, oh my goodness, I'm standing here outside my body. How is this possible? And then I was like, okay, I know I can move through walls. So I started to move through walls, and I flew down on the street and I watched people around me. And the astral realm, the thing is that everything that we see around here in the physical environment is also in the astral realm. So you see a copy of everything, not really copy, I wouldn't use that word, but everything that's here is in the astral. So that's why when we dream, we're like, believing everything we're seeing. But in the astral, you have so much more. You have so much more. So what I saw, I'm not sure, you know, what I saw, because I saw people on the street. So I'm not sure if I saw real people or if I saw spirits or what I saw. But I was definitely navigating around in this other reality. Now, that was super interesting. And when I snapped back into my body, because I think I got very excited, I felt so happy. It was like this hallelujah feeling inside, because finally I had got an answer that I exist outside my body. I am more than my body. I am also a spirit. Now I know. No one can ever take that away from me. Now I know. And intuitively, I understood that, you know, this was not heaven. I was just experiencing, I don't know, like this much of the whole universe and all other universes, but I knew something. Like I knew something, and that was good enough for me. And after that, I had a lot of lucid dreams. Now, what is a bit like unpleasant with doing these kind of explorations is that sometimes you meet some negative beings. Some call them negative beings, some call them just lower vibrational beings, but there are a lot of beings all around us. Like we have sort of people who are nasty here on Earth. We also have them in the astral, and they can be a bit spooky and scary. And they try also to scare you sometimes. Why they do that, I'm not sure. Maybe they don't want us to investigate. Maybe they don't want us to become enlightened, you know, and elevated. So often when I ask to go to the pyramids or I ask to meet Jesus, I met a clown and scary beings, and I got a bit like tired of that. So I actually stopped doing it. And a part of me was like, you know, maybe this is not my thing. Like I got my answer. I know I exist outside my body. Maybe I don't need to investigate anymore. And I also have learned that it's very connected to your level of consciousness. And I am the first one to admit that I'm not very enlightened. I'm a super normal human being with a lot of emotions and things and issues and this and that. I'm not a person who is meditating 3 hours a day. I'm not. I think my mission 10 years ago was to become enlightened. Like that was my goal. And I went to India to this ashram, and I didn't become enlightened. I actually just got depressed because I met a lot of my shadows. But today, my mission is to help other people with what I'm doing. It is to be happy. It is to follow my purpose. I don't really have these high aspirations of becoming the spiritual monk. Not a monk, but none. I sort of have let that go, and I just want to be me. And I, of course, I want to be a good person, and I do meditate and all that. But my level of consciousness is, you know, normal, like most people. That is why I also attract negative beings, because I can, in the astral, be fearful. All of a sudden, I become fearful. And then I attract fearful experiences. Because in that astral realm, what you think about will appear. That will be mirrored on the other side. And like Jade Shah, who astral travels all the time, she's super advanced in this. She has probably done this in many lives, many, many lives. She's built up the stamina, this ability to be concentrated and focused and serene and calm and concentrated. I don't have that. It takes so much training to stay super focused when you're lucid and not start dreaming again, or super focused when you're astral traveling, not to think negative thoughts and all that. It takes a lot, and you need to stay up in the night, you know, to do certain techniques. And I didn't get to sleep. So it is sort of an area that you need to fully embrace and go into. So again, I think that answered a bit about why I think if you want to do this, have teachers who really know what they're doing. Check out Charlie Morley for Lucid Dream and Jade Shah for astral traveling, and be a bit prepared that you might lose a lot of sleep. There's nothing dangerous. You cannot stay outside your body, like you mentioned, because it's like you're dreaming. You're not dying when you're dreaming. But, you know, of course, you can also die in your sleep anyway, right? So yeah, things might happen. But in theory, it's not dangerous to be conscious outside your body.
Hey guys, if you are enjoying today's podcast, I invite you to come and be a part of my tribe. We go deeper into all of these kinds of topics. You can find out all the details at awakenwithjen.com. I will also drop the link in the show notes. I can't wait to see you there, and let's grow together. So that's good. That's helpful. I mean, for me, there's a lot of things in the spiritual world that people feel drawn to do because I feel like we all have our own things, right? We all have like, there's so many different ways for us to gain awareness. I love that you said that you are not trying to be this enlightened being. For me, I remember feeling like I was in this space where I wanted so much to learn, and I still want to learn, but there was a time for me where I had no idea who I was. No idea. I had been very, very lost, and I was on that journey of like just wanting more and more and more meditation, more visualization, more of the esoteric world, more magic. And then I got to a point where I was like, I've had these amazing moments of knowing that I'm so much more than this character I'm playing in life. And it kind of chilled for a little bit, like, okay, I'm kind of chill and I'm not trying to attain enlightenment at this point right now either. I still like to swear every once in a while. I still like to have a glass of wine. I still, I got to this point where I was like comparing myself to other people that I felt like were, I really admired where they were, but I was like, I'm not there. And actually, I don't necessarily want to be there at this point. I feel like I look at myself more of a bridge to the old gen where I was to still kick it with those people and really be in that space of being able to like go, okay, you guys, I get where you're at. Let's go to the, let's at least go down the path to where I'm not trying to be on a pedestal, where I'm like, oh, I'm amazing. And I, which there are people that I feel like are at that point, they're way more enlightened than me. But it is so fascinating. And I love, I feel like once you see things that you've seen and felt things that you've felt, you never go back. You never fall back asleep to where you were. Because I know people kind of wonder about that once they change their life so drastically and they have those moments of awakening, then they're afraid they're going to go back. And I don't feel like you can. I feel like once your lights are on, they're on, right? I also have felt that way with, I know a lot of people go into like psychedelics in the spiritual world. That's also something that I've felt like I have zero like desire or need to go into. And it also, some of it I've seen where I'm like, okay, I think that you can kind of go into that. And now it's like, now you're depending on that all the time to give you moments of awakening. And I feel like everybody's got their own things that they go into and that they can have those moments of awareness. And it's fascinating to listen to. What I want to kind of shift gears into is I want to hear what you think about this time that we're living in right now. Because I know a lot of people are feeling so sad, so lost, so hopeless about our future, about their children's future. And I want to, you talk to so many amazing people and you're so amazing. And I want to hear about, like, what do you think is happening in our world? What are these times all about? Even from 2020, like what was 2020 all about? Because we hear about 2012, maybe speak to what was 2012 and what was 2020, and what do you think's happening?
Yeah, interesting that you're saying 2012 and 2020 because I have a live webinar where it's called Awaken to Your Soul's Purpose Through the Spiritual Journey. And there I actually mention these 2 years because the Mayan calendar ended in 2012, and the Mayan culture was a high civilization that existed some thousands of years ago. And they had a calendar and it ended in 2012. And a lot of spiritual knowers and mystics, they talked about that that meant that there was going to be a shift in consciousness. And I remember when I started my YouTube channel, everybody spoke about 2012, 2012. It was a huge deal. I think some also were a bit afraid that the world was going to go under. But most people thought it was like this shift, this big first wave of awakening. And what I believe was that there was an awakening going on, that a lot of people started to follow their passion, started to asking questions. Am I in the right job, the right relationship, or something difficult happened? So they were forced into making new choices. I definitely had my calling in 2012. Started my journey. And then in 2020, we had COVID. And that was a major thing, right? Like, we never knew that that could even happen. And what that did, I mean, it forced us to be isolated, to stop what we were doing. And what do we do then? Well, we need to go inwards and ask questions like, am I in the right job? Am I in the right relationship? Is this the way I want to live my life? And a lot of people, when I ask them, did you ask these questions? And they were like, yes, like everything changed after COVID. So I think that on a massive scale, it is the universe helping us to start asking questions about how we're living our lives. And back to those I interview, everybody saying that there's a huge shift going on. I haven't met one spiritual teacher that I've said no. Like, no, they're all saying it. And what is surprising me is that they're saying that the shift is happening so fast. It's happening faster and faster. Time is going faster and faster. Like, the energy is spinning faster. And several have been saying that in a few years, even 2026 or 10 years or something like that, everybody will know that we have extraterrestrials that are visiting us. Like, there will be no doubt. They will make themselves known. Some are saying that there's a storm coming to humanity, a great shift, that the old structure will fall. There's also speaking about AI, that we would need to make some choices when it comes to AI. Also, that we're sort of forced to make a choice who we want to be. Some people are saying that this is more on the esoteric part, that Gaia will split into two different realities. So those of a higher vibration will sort of move into a higher timeline, and others will continue on the lower timeline. So yeah, definitely we're in a huge shift of consciousness, and how that will look like, I don't know. But what is interesting is that I feel like everybody's channeling these days. Like, there are tons of people waking up all over the place, starting to channel, leave their old jobs. Like, I interviewed Belinda Womack. She was a stem cell biologist. And then she sees an angel and she drops this amazing job. Where she, you know, a steady income and studied for years, and she becomes a channel of 12 archangels. And I hear these stories again and again. I'm going to interview another woman, Anna Tucker, who had a great job as well, and, you know, great salary and all that. And then she just drops it and starts to channel. And everybody around is like, what are you doing? And friends are like, not replying to her. And I mean, it's a huge deal. Like, you don't just go and start channeling, and where people think you are insane, a lot of people, when you have this safe, secure job. I mean, it must mean that there's a deeper calling, right? So it seems like the universe is making people wake up all over the place now to get these messages out. So what this means, I think we're moving towards a high vibration, all of us, a high vibration, from more ego, survival, orientation, to more love and understanding and unity. And so many spiritual directions have been pointing to this, like astrology, that we're moving into the age of Aquarius. I think Toltec wisdom is speaking about that we're moving from the fifth to the sixth sun. The material law one, the raw material, is talking about that we're moving from the third density to the fourth density, and that Gaia moved into fourth density in 2012. Here, the 2012 comes back again. Like, so there are many different spiritual directions that are speaking about the shift of consciousness. Yeah.
Oh, that's so exciting. It really is. Like, I have a feng shui teacher that I love to listen to her when she talks about the energy of the upcoming year. I love to listen to astrologists and Chinese astrologists and numerologists and just listen to people that are looking at their experts in and looking at the energy, right? Of what's to come. And so in 2019, I remember definitely having a clear understanding that 2020 was going to be a major year of an awakening for us. And I was so excited. I thought, oh, I love awakenings. They're so amazing. And I live for people awakening, right? And then it was like, oh my gosh, this is so painful. Because for some reason, I didn't think about the pain of it. And awakenings are painful. They are painful, and it is, I've often heard people talk about how this time is like the birth process of birthing a new world. And when you think about going through birth, it is a painful process. I was thinking about when you were talking about even going from the astral from one space in through that tunnel. You could hear the shrieking, and I thought about that. It's like, it can feel painful for a minute going from one experience to the next. And that is, for your awakening, that was very painful for you. That is where it happens when you are so uncomfortable in your life that you've got to really look at something way deeper. And I think that is where we are right now. And it can feel hard, right? It can feel so heavy. And when you're talking about the idea of creating the two different realities, I catch myself like seeing things happening in the world and going, oh my gosh, I'm going into this, and then going, wait, no, that's not the reality I really want to live. So I need to pull myself back over here and go higher and create something better and something more hopeful and more exciting and more joyful. Because I really think that. Don't you feel like right now we're in this dance, and it is part of being a human where it's a dance between seeing what the current reality is and using your powers to create something better, and even seeing the pain and pulling yourself out of that and feeling joy anyways, like somehow finding out how to enjoy, no matter what's going on in your life, it's okay to process those painful moments, but also to see what's happening in certain areas of your life, but then be able to turn on some music or dance or have a good conversation with a friend or something to where you are creating a different reality.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't, I think, survive without these deeper conversations because life just wouldn't make sense to me. I needed to see that there was something deeper behind the curtain, behind the veil, because nothing made sense. And I need to shower myself with this inspiration every day because I do think it's hard to be in that state all the time. I'm not speaking about the specific state, but more like in the trust, more in the, okay, I choose the high vibrational feelings. I choose to look at things a certain way that are uplifting, not being drained by the news and all that. Because I find myself that I can easily be drained by it and be depressed by the news and think about it a lot. And it makes me scared. And then I go down the spiral. But like you're saying, like choosing joy, nevertheless, being conscious of it. But in order to do that, I need to meditate off more often than I'm doing. And I need to shower myself with inspiration. And when I do that every day, because I do a lot of interviews and I do this, I speak with so many amazing people, that does raise my vibration. And I really invite people to be aware of how many times a week do you shower yourself with inspiration? Because inspiration means in spirit, right? When I'm inspired, I'm like, ah, yes, it all makes sense again. It helps me so much. But I find it interesting how often I need that injection
Reminder. Yes.
of inspiration.
Yes. Yeah. Well, and
Yeah.
That's the thing is like that's the beauty of being a human is it gets so real, that physical part of being a human. It's so real and it's easy to get pulled into the seriousness of being a human. I had a conversation with someone recently who was telling me that she had a visitation from her grandfather who passed away 4 years ago, and she hasn't had any experiences with him since he passed, and they were really close. And recently, she's been just really feeling like her life's been feeling really heavy and serious. And he visited her. He gave her a visitation and he gave her a gift in her dream. Maybe it was a lucid dream. You know, as you were
I
talking about lucid dream, I was thinking about her experience. But she was sitting in a restaurant with him, and she could feel like all the people in the restaurant were so joyful. And she could feel their joy. It was like she was bathing in joy. And he said to her, I forget the nickname that he called her, but he said to her, start enjoying life. Stop taking everything so serious. It's meant to be enjoyed, even this time, right? Like, enjoy your life. And it was such a powerful message that she woke up the next morning with just this joy. And it also rippled out to me by her sharing that with me. And I share it with, you know, some of my clients that I'm working with that are feeling so heavy right now. And we are living a play. And in the end, it's all okay. Everything's all okay, right? And so, yeah, we all need those reminders. And being a human is, it's sometimes really hard, but
Yeah.
really awesome.
Really awesome. And it's okay to admit that it's hard. And okay, no, I think it's important not to try to be spiritual, you know, try to, like we spoke about, become enlightened. It's about coming home to yourself, being who you are, being honest with who you are, feeling what you're feeling. And of course, wanting to or striving to raise your vibration, but also not suppress emotions, whatever you're feeling. Loving what is. I love Matt Kahn that I've interviewed a few times that talks about loving what is. That's a teaching that I really appreciate. Whatever I'm feeling, wherever I am, if I can accept that. Like yesterday, I just felt horrible. Like I had no idea why. It wasn't even in my period. It was after my period. And I just felt overwhelmed and horrible. And I've gotten to know myself quite well, much better than I used to know myself. So I know that this will pass. This too shall pass. And I can't do anything about it. Like I just feel it's like my a cloud is on my head. And then I thought, okay, use the techniques you have. Can I accept this? Can I embrace it? Can I let myself just be, not push? And not think, oh, I have to work anyway. I have to all do all these stuff, even though I don't feel like doing anything. And I let myself just be there. And I ended up watching a television series on Netflix, just enjoying not doing much, not trying to, because I'm moving, not trying to move stuff. And I was just thinking, I know probably tomorrow is going to look totally different. And it was like today, I just woke up with a clear mind and happy and learn. And so I think it's about not resisting that. There is a deeper meaning. Maybe I just needed that. I don't think we can understand everything. Just meeting yourself with love and embrace wherever you are. I'm doing my best. Like I know I'm doing my best. It doesn't help to push and be like, I should be happy now. You know, why am I not happy? I don't have my period. I should be happy. So, yeah. So we have the chance to practice all the time, don't we?
What is something that you feel like really helps you when you're feeling heavy? When you're, what's like, I know you said, you know, you went to bed and watched Netflix, but what's something that is a go-to for you or advice from you for people that feel like they're in the seriousness and heaviness of life?
Well, it's actually to sit with it and approach myself as I'm approaching a 3-year-old. Like, hi, Annika, what do you really need right now? maybe lie down on my bed and focus on my heart, like meditate, just go inwards. I like that when I just feel that I have this cloud over my head. That's how I feel it when I have a bad day. And just be really, really gentle with myself all the time. Like really be present with myself. Like, oh, that was hard. I know you feel really low in energy right now. It's okay. What do you need? What do you need right now? And often I just need to lay down and relax. And often I'm just overwhelmed and it's just life is too much and work is too much. And it's just too many feelings. And often I end up crying and then it feels like a relief. Sometimes I speak out loud to myself, like being there as a friend. Sometimes I can even take up my phone and look at myself and talk to myself and say, hey, I'm there for you. It's okay that you feel the way you're feeling. Most of the times I go to inner child work, actually, that I close my eyes and I visualize that I meet myself as a 3-year-old or 7-year-old. I can ask, like, how old are you? Like this emotion I'm having right now, how old are you? And I can see what comes up. So here I'm investigating a bit, and maybe there's a 7-year-old who says something that I feel not good enough or overwhelmed. And then I try to be there with that part of myself. So I think it's about not running away from it, but actually meeting it and accepting it, and then not doing that to fix it. Like, I hope this will fix it. I hope I will feel better now. Letting yourself actually feel crap, or letting yourself do that, because I think you're processing something. Be present with that feeling. Be present with it. And I was, as I was watching Netflix yesterday, I was like really paying attention to my breath, like really breathing. And it was just so good to feel that I was breathing, letting myself just be. So not just watching and being lost in the television, but actually breathing at the same time. And I was like, how nice is it? Is it not to lay here and just breathe, letting myself breathe? Because we forget to breathe consciously.
Yeah. Okay. My last question for you, dear, is what is your message to the world? If you could give any message, what do you say?
My message to the world is to actually follow your joy and follow your dreams. I believe we all have a purpose. It doesn't have to be something you're doing. It can be something you're meant to experience or unfold in yourself. However, I think it's linked to joy and love. And whenever you feel that your heart is opening, that's where your path is. It's not in the fear and the lower vibrations and the shame and the guilt that I have to do this because my father or mother told me, or I have to make a living. Your path is where you feel joy. It's actually where you feel that it's quite easy. It just feels natural to do it. That's where you have a path. And that's the gifts you're meant to bring to the world. And when you bring that to the world, you make a difference also for others. So I think we're really meant to share our gifts, and that life is about discovering those gifts and sharing them with the world.
So good. Love that. Thank you so much for being here with me today. I appreciate you so much. How can people find you? What do you have going on? Kind of tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's been, you know, a joy to be here today. And people can find me on wisdomfromnorth.com. And we have also a membership where I have invited some of the teachers that I've interviewed on YouTube, on my show on YouTube, to be masterclass teachers. And my membership is sort of like a spiritual Netflix that you find different classes that are exclusive for my membership with personal development, the spiritual growth. It's really a place for those who want to take their spiritual growth to the next level, who want to find their purpose, love themselves. That's the membership for you. And that is wisdomfromnorth.com/membership. And we have tons of free material as well, free meditations, webinars. Yeah, you can just hang out there for a long time. Just check my webpage out.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us in this beautiful conversation. And again, thank you, Janneke, so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much as well. And thank you for doing this amazing work. It's so important.
Yes, it is. Thank you. Okay. I'll talk to everybody next week. Bye for now. If this podcast means something to you, it would mean so much to us if you would be willing to take 30 seconds to do these three things. First, can you please follow or subscribe to Love Lighthouse? Following helps you because you'll never miss an episode, and it helps us because we won't miss you. To do this, just go to the Love Lighthouse show page on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcasts, and then just tap the plus sign in the upper right-hand corner or click on follow. This is the most important thing you can do for Love Lighthouse. While you're there, if you'd be willing to give us a 5-star rating and review, and then share this episode with someone you love. Thank you so much, dear. I'll see you next time.